Many of us will have heard of the Women's Land Army, formed in World War II to support agricultural activities across the country. But how many of us are aware of the Women's Timber Corps? Known as lumberjills, they felled trees, worked in sawmills, and drove timber haulage trucks to help the war effort. Historian Jo Fote has uncovered the history of these forgotten heroines, and she joins me on the programme now. Jo, welcome to Abbey 104.
Thank you for having me.
The lumberjills are very much forgotten. Certainly, the people I've spoken to have never heard of them, but they played such a crucial effort, didn't they?
Yes, absolutely. Timber was so important for the war effort. The UK was the largest timber importing nation at the beginning of World War II. And of course, once we're at war, timber imports, because they're so huge, are difficult to bring in, especially when there's aerial warfare and shipping are getting targeted. So we really needed to rely on homegrown timber. And it's quite astonishing how many different needs we had for timber during World War. You know, everything from railway sleepers and pit props for the coal mines, to telegraph poles, to rifle butts, to charcoal for gas masks. Wood was needed for the floating Mulberry harbours towards the end of the war, and D-Day landing trackway. Literally, there's like so many different uses for wood. So it was the number one natural resource that we needed for the war effort. Yeah, it was literally vital to the architecture of war that we had a supply of wood. And that's why the lumberjills' work was so important, because we were literally fueling the industries of war, keeping it going in the background from the forests.
And would women have specifically volunteered for the Timber Corps, or would they have volunteered for the Land Army and then been selected for the Timber Corps?
It was more likely that they would be recruited into the Women's Land Army. At the beginning of the war, there was no such thing as a timber corps, really, because of the prejudice against women, in that people thought that the women wouldn't be able to cope with the tough work. So it was at the beginning, from 1939 on until 1942, it was women working in forestry in the Women's Land Army. So it was the forestry section, and it wasn't until 1942 that they finally recognised that actually these women were doing an amazing job, really managing the tough, heavy work of felling trees and carrying logs and things so well, that they set up the Women's Timber Corps. So that was when thousands of women were then recruited every month and trained in all lines of work. So yeah, that was the route through. And so they were lucky if they got a choice. I mean, quite a few of them said to me, because I met 60 of these ladies, so quite a few of them said to me that if they volunteered before the age of 17 or 17 and a half, they would have a choice. And a lot of them said they didn't want to work in the munitions factories, and they rather thought that working on land would be a nicer option. And, you know, some of them didn't want to be a rat catcher. They didn't want to work in the Land Army, so they chose the Timber Corps because they thought it sounded, nice. And they had reports from their friends that it was a good choice as well.
Joe, when they were working during the war, was there a recognition of the lumberjills? Did people really know what they were doing, or was it afterwards that it really came to light how crucial they'd been?
I think it was a big mystery during the war, because the term lumberjill didn't even come into use until 1942, which was when the Women's Timber Corps was set up. And it was kind of used in the Northern Daily Mail for the first time. And they did call themselves lumberjills and timberjills as well, though. So it was starting to be used at that time. But certainly, I don't think that the wider public would have known much about them, other than there were a few articles in newspapers that from the beginning of the war, there was like quite negative, comments about women offering to work in forestry. But by the end of the war, there was much more positivity, going, wow, look at these women, they're like doing an incredible job. You know, she fells with ease 10 ton trees, and jolly good fellas and things like that, you know, about the women. So the kind of tide did turn after they proved themselves. But lots of the ladies were so funny. They would always have jokes with people. They go, oh, what does WTC stand for? And they go, oh, it's the women's something commandos, or and people go, wow, oh, that's really cool, but equally they would, well, women's tank corps was another one that they said, because people didn't really know what it was.
When you were speaking to the Lumberjills, which must have been such a privilege for you, was there a pride in what they'd achieved?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. I mean, they were so proud of what they'd done. I think it had been a real journey for them to go from, wearing skirts and, in jobs where they were shop assistants and domestic servants, to finding themselves wearing a pair of trousers, which was literally unheard of back then, and feeling this. Probably, I imagine they were quite nervous at the beginning, thinking, can they actually manage to do this job? And then finding themselves felling these huge trees. I mean, they were enormous trees as well. And driving huge haulage trucks, doing all the winching and the dangerous work of working in sawmills, and calculating the figures that the government needed for timber wartime supplies. I mean, really amazing transformation for these women. And they knew it, they really knew it, because like when I met these ladies, it all of them said to me, we felt really upset at the end of the war because we didn't get recognition for what we did. And they knew it was important work. They knew that they had done something, they'd literally pioneered a new kind of opportunity for women to work in jobs that previously, people never thought they would be able to cope with the heavy work, and they were very proud of themselves. They would say, we did our bit for the war, and every there's poems that were written, like every stroke of the axe was a stroke for victory, and really, really doing it for their brothers, and they just wanted to do their bit like their brothers were doing. So really, yeah, very proud.
I know there has been a Women's Land Army medal that has been minted for people who served in the Women's Land Army, and it can be awarded posthumously to the family. Is the same true for the Lumberjills?
The Lumberjills got the same badge as the Women's Land Army. So while they were pleased to get that recognition in 2008 from Gordon Brown, who was Prime Minister then, and they did say better late than never, because it came after like 50 or 60 years, there was some disappointment that they didn't get their crossed axes, because they had two badges of their own, a pine tree, in a Baker-like badge that they wore in their beret. So there was, that was a bit of a shame, but
It is
so it
good
didn't.
to know that there was some recognition there, albeit many, many decades too late. Joe, you do a lot of work in publicising the work of the Lumberjills. What are you working on at the moment?
So I'm currently working on novel two about the Lumberjill, so which is in a series. I first published the history book, which was published in 2019, and that's all the stories of the women that I met, where they worked, how they were treated, what they ate, what they wore, etc. And then after that, I've really always wanted to write a novel about them, because their stories were honestly so funny and so hilarious and so heroic and just really incredible. And so I wrote the first in a series of novels, and that came out in 2022. So I'm working on the second one in the series now, which is kind of in the later stages of, which is great. But I've also done a photo book. Which is because I've collected, because I met so many of the Lumberjills, I collected so many photographs. So just really wonderful photographs showing these women working in the forest. Because when I first started researching, I was worried that people wouldn't believe me, because I think that's what the kind of the message that the women got back in the day is, like, oh, we don't believe that women can do that job. So I really kind of meticulously collected photographs, and so I've also got a photo book that's available. So one other thing which is really delightful that happened today is I was sent this in the post. Oh, it's a so it's a Lumberjills game which has been created by this wonderful woman in the US, in Pennsylvania, and she's a big fan of the Lumberjills, and she's created a live action role play game, and it's so it's it's a game based on the Lumberjills, and she I wrote to her and said, "It's amazing what you're doing." And she said, "Well, it's really cool what you're doing. Can you write the introduction to this game for me?" So yeah, and it's literally just arrived in the post today, and it's really lovely. I can't wait to play it.
Joe, it sounds wonderful. Maybe more people can play it as the years go on. If people want more information about you or about the books or about the Lumberjills, what's the easiest way for them to do so?
So I've got a website. It's thelumberjills.uk, and you can find out everything about the Lumberjills and all the work that I've been doing. Yeah, and see talks I've been doing, join my newsletter. And the other really exciting thing is that the Lumberjills will be included in a special VE80. VE Day 80 event at the Royal Albert Hall this year as well. So, yeah, I've been involved in kind of writing and helping them do the research for that. So that is just like a dream come true. Yeah, after all these years, for them to be so formally recognised at such a big occasion and venue. So that's really wonderful.
Feel free to come back on the program anytime and tell us anything that's going on with the Lumberjills. We would love to be able to publicise more of the work that you're doing and reflect the wonderful work that the Lumberjills did in the Second World War. Joe Fote, historian, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you.